Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm going to give you something real short and sweet tonight, and you're never going to forget this. It's three little things that when I say these, you're going to remember them from now on. Matthew chapter 28, and my thought tonight is go. Go. Matthew 28, verse 18. I know I said 19 and 20 on the disc, but it's verse 18 is where I'm going to begin my reading. And let me read this to you real quick. This is familiar. Most of you can quote this. You've heard it spoken a lot, heard it preached on. Brother Dennis set it up perfect when he read tonight prior to the service, and he had no idea what I was going to preach on just briefly. Matthew 28, verse 18, if you're there, shout amen for me. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, I love you and I thank you for the night. We got so much to thank you for, Lord, that you've just been good to us. God, we've never been hungry. Always had a roof over our head, shoes on our feet, and clothes on our back. A family that loved us. My, my, God, how you blessed us. A wonderful church family, God, and we just praise you for it. We pray that you'd bless this word, fill my mouth, guard my tongue, help me be accurate in the scripture, and help all our weak and hurting. And we ask these favors in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. And so my thought is go tonight. The Lord's speaking here. You'll find several different opinions as to whether this is at the ascension of Christ or not. I lean toward that. I'm not dogmatic about it, but I lean toward this being at his ascension. Luke gives a few more detail, but Matthew, and now I want you to understand here that Matthew is representing him as the king. You understand? We know that. It's a Jewish audience. It's for the Jew. It's to the Jew. They missed it, but Matthew's writing that they would see that he is Messiah. And so he doesn't touch on the ascension here. Why is that? Because the king belongs on earth. And so the others refer to the ascension, Luke especially, in Acts, and the ascension as they go up. And so Matthew doesn't do that. But what he does say is go. Now, we know we should go. We know that there's an expectation, though this is to a Jewish audience, this is applicable to us in the world today, that we should go. So, but we won't go unless we, one, I'm going to give you three things real fast. Unless, one, we see the need. See the need to go. Well, why? Tony Wilson, why should we go? Well, Pam just sang the song. People, we know how to get to heaven. Brother Junior Swafford will start when he's witnessing somebody, and here's what he asks them. I've heard, do you know how to, can I ask you something? Do you know how to get to heaven? That's a good opening line. Because a lot of people don't know. Some people do know, but he tells us to go. Why should we go? Because we know that people need to go to heaven. The consequence of not going to heaven is spending eternity in hell. And I think that maybe, just maybe, we don't think about that often enough. See, if there's no consequence to sin, if there's, listen, Jesus is dogmatic about this.
about you're either born again and in the family of God or you're going to hell. That's pretty hard, Brother Randy Maynard. But it's true. It's the truth. We know that to be the truth. How do you know that to be true, preacher? Because the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And I hadn't seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, A plus. That's how we know. And these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We know that tonight. There's a host of people, Jay, that don't know it. There's a lot of people playing at it. But do we see the need? Right here. Go. Go, Mike. Go, Randy. Richard, Brantz. Seth, go. I'm leaving the ladies out. You'll thank me for that. Go, Jake. Go. See the need? It's kind of hard today when COVID's raging to invite people to church, isn't it? Here's what they say. You wear a mask? Well, if you'll come, I'll wear one if you'll come. Brother David Crowe spoke to him yesterday. Brother David said, he's out west on vacation. He sat down on a bench and a woman looked at him and said, that's not 6 feet. He said, I'm sorry I left my measuring tape in the car. He said, you don't have a mask on. I don't want to wear a mask. He said, if you're concerned about it, I think you ought to have a mask on. She turns to her husband and said something. He said, shut up, honey, he's right. See the need? Not everybody's going. There's a lot out there that's not going. It's hard to invite them to church. It's crazy COVID stuff. But you don't have to invite them to church. Tell them about Jesus. We just tell them. See the need? But then I think we can see in this what he tells us to do is sow the seed. Sow the seed. You do not have to be a theologian to sow the seed of the Word of God. You do not. If you can quote John 3:16, or one of my favorites is Romans 10:13. I throw 10:13 out there a lot. And here's what I tell them at gas stations and everywhere else. Whosoever. I say, do you know the Lord? No. You can tell they're in a bad mood. You know, most people in this world's in a bad mood. I challenge you to go in a store and count how many people smile. Hey, not many. In a bad mood. So my thing is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'd say this. I say, think about that. You don't have to give them a message. You don't have to give them a dissertation on justification and sanctification and salvation. Just give them the Word of God. When Jesus said the sower went forth, he said that when he sowed, it was the Word of God. If you're sowing the Word of God, you're doing the right thing. But you got to see the need to ever sow the seed. It's sad to think some of our family die and go to hell, ain't it? If they're not saved, that's what's going to happen to them. And I know. Hey, let's hear. I know it's easy to get busy, get your mind. If a devil, he gets our mind on other things. And maybe we need to prioritize. Nothing wrong with praying for sick people. But 2/3 to 90% of our prayer requests are for sick people. I'm glad. I tell you what we're doing. We're trying to keep a lot of folk out of heaven. But we see the need to sow the seed, because when there, you know what? Paul said, I've begotten you by my gospel, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, Jimmy, they're never going to do. And how do we get that? We get it by the word of God. So what do we sow? We sow the word of God. Look here. Why is it so easy to talk about ball games or hunting or fishing or makeup or just what? Why is it so easy to talk about that and not sow the word of God? The devil never put a roadblock up on you when you're talking about the ball game. Never. But he'd do it. The moment it enters your mind to say something concerning the word of God, and I'm about to sow the word right here. How many times have you been interrupted? Do you think that's coincidence? No, that's the principalities and powers that we fight against. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what that is, Randy. Brother Wade, those things come and they attack right at the moment. They're on guard right here. There are a lot of them. Now, the devil's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once, but he's got a lot of helpers. And they're out here going in and out, looking. I think if some of us could see what the spiritual world really looked like, we'd crawl under the bed and hide till Jesus comes. I'm glad we can't see it. Feel it sometimes. You can feel it. We were in California a few years back with Dean and Zelma Bennett met us out there. And Pat and I had never been. And it's probably the last vacation we took. It was 15 years ago. And we went in this place. We drove down to the Big Sur and before you get down out of California. Or Los Angeles, that's some prettiest place I've ever seen in my life. It is beautiful. This one guy's entire yard was flowers. He didn't have to mow. His entire yard looked like begonias or something. His entire yard was flowers. I thought, my word, look at that. We get down there. We walk in this store. I don't know, something's wrong. I walk in and something's wrong. And I'm looking around. Dean's kind of gomming around. I walked back to the back wall, and there an entire wall was dedicated to witchcraft and devil worship. I turned around, and I told Dean, I said, hey, let's go. He said, you don't want anything? I said, not here. Come on, let's go. We walked outside. He said, he had no idea what I'd seen. He said, what was wrong with that place? Said, there was something just wasn't right in there. I said, I'll tell you what it was. They're promoting devil worship and Wicca and all this stuff. The entire back wall is promoting that stuff. Oh, yeah, these things fight. We're fighting against things we can't see. But you can feel them. We felt it that day. Do you see a need? Now, look here. Now, you may think this wrong, but the Lord instructed them in one place. He said, when you go in, said if they won't receive you, just knock the dust off your feet. And I felt like that's what I'd done. I walked out of that store. I believe a reprobate mind was running that show, and they weren't no need. The Spirit didn't instruct me or encourage me to share the word there. But we need to sow the seed. Lastly tonight, and Brother Dennis said this, and here's what he said we was going to do. If we're teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, here's what we do. Once we see the need and sow the seed, and then, friend, and it is this simple, then we do the deed. Do the deed. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. There it is. So when we do this, are we not, if we sow the seed, are we not doing the deed? Well, yeah, we see the need. Are we doing the deed? Well, in a way, we are in our minds. We see it. We recognize it. We notice it. But to do the deed could encompass a multitude of things. When you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When you see the need in somebody's life that you can fulfill, look here, God's give you a raise that you can help somebody. So I'm at this one place preaching. and the former pastor of this church. We're driving down the road, and the former pastor of this church looked over at me and said, "What do you think of that graveyard?" I said, "Man, that thing's nice. It's well kept." He said, "That church got $85,000 in the bank for a graveyard fund." I said, "Why did they do that? Them dead people don't need it. $85,000 in a graveyard fund. I'd hate to stand before God and say I had $85,000 put up just in case we need it for the graveyard." I think he might say something like this: "Let the dead bury the dead." You should have took that $85,000 and put it on a mission field somewhere where somebody could see the need, sow the seed, and do the deed. But no, we had that thing cramped up in the bank over here, and what did it do? Didn't do nothing for nobody. I commend us as a church. I'll brag on you for just a minute. I probably don't do it often enough. But you're not a stingy church. We're givers. And some would think that we give too much to some, but you can't give too much when you're giving it for the work of the Lord, because they're going to go down the road and they're going to go to that place that's got $85,000 in the cemetery fund, and they're going to give the evangelist a $100 bill. And then think they overpaid him. Or they're going to be a singing group come, there's going to be five of them, and they're going to give them $200, and they've drove 4 hours to get there. And they think they've done something big. Years ago, and I'll say it, and they're sitting here in the congregation tonight, but years ago, I needed Brother Paul to keep a check on Brother Brant's, because Paul was a little tighter, and Brother Brant's had just write a check for whatever's in there. You think I'm kidding? I served as a deacon long before I began to preach. And we check and balance each other. Gary Hall was one of the best numbers men we ever had for a deacon here at the church. Gary, somebody appealed for a check one time, and Gary said, "Hey, we wrote them a $250 check a year and a half ago." Are you kidding me? You remember that from a year? But it was a number clicked in his mind, just his gift. My point is this: it's good to have them all, but look here, we need to do the deed. We need the deed. Sometimes that is supply for people. Other times we don't know. I think we could pick up. We've still got just a little money left in the bank every month after we pay everything. Very little, though, Lisa, right? We're about breaking even. We're gaining just a little ground. So if we're gaining a little ground, I think we could pick up another missionary and be dead even. I think we'd be all right to do that. Say, "Well, I don't know about that, preacher." It's not your paycheck that's counting on it. If we run out of money, who don't get paid? And Penny. And Lisa. But I think you'd be all right. I think if we'd done that and was breaking even, God might give somebody a raise and we'd get on the plus side. And once again, ain't that how he works? You know when he works? You know how he works that way? When we go. When we go, we see the need. Look, now I'm not like Wade Stover and a great worldly missionary. I'm not going out of country and do a lot of missionary work. I'm just not. I had guys beg me to go to Jamaica some years ago when I was young, and they said, "Look here, man, you." And then I had another guy that said, "You've got to go with me over here to Asia or somewhere." He said, "You get up to preach, there'll be 300 or 400 people saved a night." He said, "You never seen anything like it. You've got to go." You know what? God never, he never put that on my heart to go. I'll tell you what he done, Chris. He put it on my heart to help send others to go. We see the need, and we may not go ourselves, but we can send somebody else to go. It's like the Simmons boy, him and his wives, Bethany and Josh. They've made it over there to Spain, taking care of Muslims that hate them. That'd be a good work. On the other side of the world, over there. Wait, Jennifer said, I had granddaughters off over her, but I'm proud of her. Wow. That's something new. She's on the other side of the world. See the need. And then when we see that, we sow the seed. It doesn't take a lot. Two or three verses. Just put it out there. And then it's a responsibility of the Holy Ghost to do something with that. Amen. You've done all you can do. You can't do what he does. And then we do the deed. What deed is that? Whatever we can do. Whatever we can do. Do you know that the Bible says that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think? And you know how he does that? We leave that verse off right there. What's that, Brother Junior? The according to the power that worketh in us. We stop shorter than that verse oftentimes. That's how we do the deed. Let's stand to our feet. Marcus, where you at? There he is. Come get us a song, brother. We're going to sing a song, sing a verse or chorus a song. Somebody needs to pray. You're welcome to pray. You don't have to wait to pray around here. I'd like to see it where it got so thick that the people come pray before we just interrupt the service. Go ahead and pray. Sing, brother, while I pray. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.